For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning to you, Eno. We are getting close here. September is coming up. The pennant races are heating up, and the Padres are right in the thick of it. And that just makes everybody a little more worried when we see a game like yesterday.
Sky's falling.
I can get it. But, you know, the knuckleball in Coors, that's two starts ago, is disadvantaged. It doesn't get to move as much because the air is so thin. And then, who knows if there's that sort of set him off. There have been Coors hangovers for other pitches and hitters, and so that's part of it. But I also just think that Waldron should be throwing that knuckler more like 50-60% of the time. He was throwing it more when he was more successful, and I would especially love it if he threw it, 79-80, and threw it, 50-60% of the time. I think it's obviously his best pitch, and the others should be more surprise pitches.
Why deviate? Why deviate? We talked a little bit about the strategy yesterday. And it's funny, though, because he's been struggling in the early innings, the first inning especially, and went out yesterday and felt like he was kind of holding the knuckler in reserve, but had actually a clean first and second inning. So, I don't know what it is, but, I had a guy DM me and asked me, well, are they just clued in on the knuckleball now? They watch so much video. I said, you can't watch video on a knuckleball. He doesn't have any idea where it's going. No idea whatsoever.
Yeah, the funny thing is that the knuckleball on any one pitch will move most of the time like a regular pitch. Like if you didn't know it was a knuckleball and just watched it, you might be like, oh, that was a curveball.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was a changeup. But it's like a random number generate. The you don't know what pitch it's going to be when you throw it. And that's why it's so hard for hitters, because it'll take any sort of movement. You can't anticipate it at all. And I'm looking at something like, it's called pitch type values. It just adds up, how good a pitch is. And it's, his knuckler is very clearly his best pitch. And even over the last three starts, it's been his best pitch. I would be ramping that percentage up. But yeah, he threw it 24% of the time against Minnesota. That's
it was way down.
Not enough. Yeah,
but that eliminates the human factor here, which is obviously statistically it's his most effective pitch. He should be using it more often. But it also is a pitch that requires talking to Matt and hearing him say it, an immense amount of feel. And you get in the bullpen and you're not feeling it. I can imagine, because if you start adding a few RPMs to that knuckleball, it becomes a horrible pitch, just a few tumbles and then it doesn't move at all. And then you're just throwing up an 80 mile an hour straight ball to Major League Baseball hitters. So you can probably see why psychologically a knuckleball pitcher who doesn't think he's throwing a good knuckleball would want to get away from that thing as fast as possible.
Yeah, no. And he actually has, what seem like more credible major league pitches than, R.A. Dickey threw 86 on the fastball, and Tim Wakefield, I don't even know if he threw 86 on the fastball. So, I can see why he'd be tempted to go away from it. But, I think the other part is your pitches are only as good as how often you can get them in the zone. So, you know what I mean? Like if he's throwing a knuckleball and it's nasty, but it's just always in the dirt.
Yeah.
And he can't put it in the zone, then, they're just going to, they're not even going to sit knuckleball or whatever. They're just not going to swing until they have to, and that can get him in trouble too. So I get it. It's a dark art.
It is.
They're a special breed. And what's fun about it too is when I talked to Dickie and Wakefield about this, I realized that they all talk to each other. You know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little club that Waldron's now in. So. Hopefully, one of them, maybe you can reach out to Dickie or somebody and get some advice on what to do to get out of this funk.
Yeah, we had last couple games I was at down in the field. I was talking to Ruben Niebla, and then Tom Candiotti walked up, and Ruben's like, "See you later, Woodsy. I'm going to talk to Tom Candiotti about this knuckleball." And I was like, "All right, see you later. Whatever helps the club." Ben and I both really enjoyed your most recent piece about mound heights in Major League Baseball. And I didn't realize Major League Baseball, much like adult league, you don't really know what you're going to get when you get out there. Like, this is the mound today. They were talking about some of them that are like mountains. You know.
And then I assume, well, Petco Park must have one of the tall ones because it's not a good hitter's park, but that wasn't the case,
it's not the case
either.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. So I've been trying to figure out, there are some park effects for Stuff Plus. And so my idea is Stuff Plus is like just the shape of the pitches. How good are they? But, we know, for example, Coors, like it changes the shape of pitches, right? So in this latest update of Stuff Plus, we adjusted for altitude, right? But that doesn't fix everything. So the biggest home away factors for Stuff Plus is Tampa Bay. And you're like, man, that's a dome? Like, what's going on? Is that sea level? Like, what's going on there? And, the newest thing I've discovered is that salt in the air actually helps movement. So so San Diego is fourth. In sort of stuff is better in San Diego. Yu Darvish told me he started throwing his sinker in San Diego because it moved more. So San Diego has salt in the air. Now, another factor might be the difference in mounds. And what we found is Houston and Philly. Philly has the fifth best home splits for park factors for stuff. Philly and Houston, who has second, they have mounds where – and it's hard to say this correctly because we can't measure the mound. What we can measure is the release point of the pitcher. And if you match a pitcher's release point in each park, you could start to say, oh, that's weird. The same pitcher in these different parks throws the ball an inch higher in Houston than Philly.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, the mound is taller. But then, I talk to grounds crew people and they're like, no. You talk to pitchers, they're like, oh, yeah. Tampa's super tall and Boston's like you feel like you're in the basement, so it's like the pitchers, like, they feel it. You talk to grounds crew and they're like, no. MLB comes and they measure this stuff and they look at it, and they care about it. But I would say this: release point is they don't release from the top of the mound, right?
Right.
Like no pitcher does that. They go down the mound. So if there's an inch difference, not at the top of the mound, is baseball capturing that? Like, do they have like protractors out there?
Right.
Do they have the slope? You know what I mean?
The slope measurement.
Do they have the slope of the mound? Or do they just say, this is as tall as we say you should have the mound, and it's as big a mound, and so probably the slope is the same. But maybe the slope is done a little differently each mound. And an inch difference, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it does make a difference for how the pitch moves and how the pitch looks when it goes to the plate. I'm always fascinated by park factors. One of the coolest things about baseball is that each of these parks are so different and it affects the game so much.
So much.
I think, yes, a football might fly further in thinner air. You might get some Denver in basketball apparently has a really strong home field advantage because people are gassed when they're trying to run up and down the court in Denver. But this is like really intricate. You're talking like pitches moving differently, the mound being different, the outfield walls are different, the ivy. I love talking about stuff like this because it's so baseball.
Well,
in life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking, you know, you have to ask the artists, you know, the ones that are out there doing the art. And those are the pitchers. And I mean, the fact that so many people say, oh, yeah, Tampa Bay has the best mound, bar none. And then you see the kind of pitchers that Tampa Bay has churned out over the last, you know, decade plus. And you're like, all right, tends to make sense. I did love, though, what James Paxton said when he said, if you think it's a problem, it's a problem. But if you don't think it's a problem, it's not a problem. It's funny, man. I've heard stories about the way Tony Gwynn picked out his bats and he could detect a flaw, you know, with the naked eye or just the way it sounded. Phil Mickelson and his golf ball, you know, his wedges. We've talked to the guys at Callaway that have said, you want to be in the torture chamber, build a wedge for Phil Mickelson. You know what I mean? Like, he will pick one up and go, it's an eighth of a...
Nope. And it's just, a micron off here. I can just feel it.
It's like maddening. And Paxton also said,
Phil, this is perfect.
This is just what you wanted.
Just built it.
Yeah, but the guy, you know, the guys at Callaway, they were telling us that story. And then you hear James Paxton go, it's ingrained in us. If it doesn't feel right, it's not going to be right.
And it's kind of ironic that he went to Boston because he was one of the many people. Boston was rated the worst mound in that piece that I did. I think it was last year, but I was bringing it up because we got some new measurements and he was saying Boston was voted the worst. And when I started picking their brains on why it was the worst, they started saying things that didn't have anything to do with the mound. You know, like
right.
I was like, Oh, that's weird. So they talked about the backstop being really close to the catcher, right? So if you're on the mound and the backstop is really close to the back of the catcher, the fans are right there. So now you're like, you're looking at the catcher and the fans feel like they're on top of you, you know, that way. And then you look over your shoulder and the green monster is just laughing over the back of your shoulder. And you're just like, this is the smallest park of all time.
You're done
and
for.
All of the fans are like in my jersey with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you're not like, you go to Oakland, right? And no matter what, there might be salt in the air and the mound might be beautiful. Everyone said, oh yeah, I love Oakland. Well, do you love Oakland or do you love all that foul ground and all the fans are so far away and the ball, you know, your third baseman can go run for a mile and still catch the foul ball, you know? So, you know, there's a lot of sort of feel is real stuff going on.
Where, I'm thinking of the Gene Hackman scene in Hoosiers with the tape measure. You know, hey, well, same height on the basket, yeah. Same length of the court. Yeah. It may be different everywhere else, but right here, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Eno Saris is with us from The Athletic. Eno, I've got this is just kind of an opinion-y question for you, but there are a number of players who are either just coming back or should be coming back soon, like Justin Verlander pitched yesterday. Yamamoto is on the rehab. He had a couple of innings facing batters. Obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. could be back soon for the Padres. Who do you think is going to have the biggest impact now, returning player on the pennant race in the playoffs coming up?
Well, I mean, it is funny because baseball is a game of 26 or 40 in terms of men, you know. It's, we fixate on the stars, and yet, you know, it matters so much, like, how the full roster goes. And so, I think, you know, all these guys are meaningful, but it's hard to say, like, one is going to change things. I'm a little bit focused on the NL West, though. There's an interesting thing going on here with the NL West where – all of the wild cards may come out of the NL West.
Yep.
There's a chance of that happening. It would be pretty funny, I think, if that happened. And so Yamamoto means so much to the Dodgers just because their pitching staff is just dropping like flies. Glasnow hurt. River Ryan comes up, looks good. Tommy John, you know. Bobby Miller, I think, looks hurt to my eye. So, you know, they are kind of scrabbling, and they need somebody at the top of that rotation. So I think in terms of maybe one, that's the biggest deal. But in terms of vibes and also like momentum and things that I don't normally talk about, like the Padres are just nipping at those Dodgers' heels, and like it's they're right there. And I just think, you know, I think that the Padres, they've been making contact all year, but when they really started going well, they were making contact and slugging. And I think that was the difference in their hottest time of the year. Tatis comes back and makes it more of a slugging team. And I think just a really good lineup where, you know, they can go toe to toe. And they, you know, they're getting back. They got Mac Musgrove and then Yu still throwing. So like, you know, they have their arms coming back too. But Tatis, everyday player, you know, that could be the answer too.
Quickly, before we let you go, you know, just got a couple minutes left. Just your thoughts on Joey Votto's retirement.
I think he's a Hall of Famer in terms of play on the field, but also just a joy to cover. One of the most cerebral guys about the game, one of the most interesting guys to talk to, and just a funny dude that was, you know, basically a troll. You know,
yeah.
Like he had this like really funny sense of humor where he would just be playing around with people. Like his appearances with Chris Russo are amazing. If you ever seen him in the Mountie hat, like a lot of the stuff that, you know, has nothing to do with how he played in the game also made him such a great dude. And he let us in a little bit into like, you know, what his mindset was and what his life was like. And he obviously struggled through some times in Cincinnati where they weren't good. But just a perennial all-star type player, just a really, really good player that I think is a Hall of Famer. If you look at the list of people who've had 400 OBPs in a season, he's done it 7 times. The list above him who've done it more times, they're all Hall of Famers. And it's all like Musial and all the greats and Hornsby. And so I know that, you know, people tend towards like big things like homers and RBIs and stuff, and maybe he doesn't fully stack up in some of those departments. But in terms of slash line, in terms of what he did when he stepped to the plate, he's a Hall of Famer.
Joey Votto came on our show late in 2022 and told a story about former teammate Brandon Drury that was 100% false.
Yes, and got us. He got us in trouble. He got us in trouble. Drury was pissed at us. So, yeah.
So he's a troll, dude.
He's a troll.
Yep. Yeah, we got firsthand experience of
like,
that.
We went down to the ballpark like within a week after the interview, and Drew was like just like mean mugging us.
He was giving us the Manson lamps, dude.
We had to like ask somebody else, and they're like, oh yeah, he was not happy with that interview. And we're like, what? It was a great story.
Great story, yeah.
That's not true, though. Never happened. So. Yeah. Thanks, Joey.
Got us.
Thanks, Joey. Nice. Eno, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Smart Baseball with Eno Saris, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.